Grace, mercy, and peace are yours through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters, in our gospel lesson for this week, for this second week of the Easter season, we hear the familiar account of doubting Thomas. Sometimes, though, it's easy to forget that at the end of this account, we hear some very familiar words that we hear much more often than the story of doubting Thomas. These words, which we often sing during a worship service after the verse of the day, right? The verse of the day, a sentence or two that captures the theme of our worship that week. After we hear the verse of the day, we'll sing these words, Alleluia, Alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia. Those words are the last verse of our lesson for today. And when we sing those words during a service, we're singing them to affirm two truths. One, that the man, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God, our Savior. And two, that the words of the Bible were written so that we might believe in that Savior. Yet, here in our gospel lesson, that verse comes right on the heels of the account of doubting Thomas, the disciple who would not believe. And I doubt that it is a coincidence. As we meditate on John's gospel this morning, we remember this important truth, that these words are written that we may not doubt, but believe. These words are written to bring us peace. Something that people don't often realize is that Thomas wasn't the only disciple who doubted. We see right away at the very beginning of our text that all of the disciples doubted. On the evening of the first day of the week, the disciples were together behind locked doors because of their fear of the Jews. What were these disciples doing? Jesus had told them countless times that he was going to be betrayed, he would be handed over to his enemies, he would suffer, he would die, he would be crucified on a cross, he would be buried, and then after 3 days that he would rise from the dead. Well, it was the third day, and yet they were all locked in their homes in fear. Why should they fear anything when their Savior Jesus was alive? All the disciples doubted. They were all afraid, all faithless. John himself tells us in his gospel that they did not yet understand from Scripture that Jesus had to be raised from the dead. They had locked themselves away in their homes, a feeling that is all too familiar to us these days. The only difference is that we have hope. The disciples, when they were locked away in their rooms, had none. In the midst of their Lord's death, the only thing that they knew was that their master, their Lord, their friend was buried in a tomb. When suddenly Jesus came, he stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. So the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. When the disciples were lost in their doubt, Jesus came to them to crush that doubt and bring them peace, a peace that surpasses all understanding. What a stunning turnaround it must have been for those downtrodden disciples. They were lost in the depths of despair when suddenly they were at the highest heights of joy. They went from the darkness of doubt to the light of peace that only a risen Savior can give. But only 10 disciples were in the room that day, and there was another disciple who needed that peace. Thomas needed it too, but he wasn't there. Thomas did not yet know that his Savior was alive. He was still lost in that doubt and despair. The disciples told Thomas that their Savior was alive, but he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger into the mark of the nails and put my hand into his side, I will never believe." Thomas's doubt isn't uncommon to anything that wouldn't be found in a sinner. The Bible says that people are dead in sin. And as people who are dead in our sin, we cannot know God. We can't understand God. We can't believe in any of his promises, in any of his miracles, unless he works a miracle in our hearts. And a resurrection of a Savior from our sin, well, that's the greatest miracle. That's the greatest promise of them all. How could we, people who are dead in sin, believe something as magnificent as that? Well, we can't. We can't believe that good news unless God works a miracle in our hearts. And Jesus performed that miracle in Thomas's heart personally. After 8 days, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them. "Peace be with you," he said. Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Take your hand and put it into my side. Do not continue to doubt, but believe." Now, something really interesting here that we aren't told is this. Earlier that week, when the disciples told Thomas about Jesus, what did he say? He demanded to see the nail marks in Jesus' hand, feel them himself, and put his hand into Jesus' side. Yet, when Jesus offered that exact thing to Thomas, we never read that Thomas actually did it. We don't read that Thomas then slowly approached Jesus, looked him up and down, closely examined his hands, put his own hand into Jesus' side, and then after carefully reviewing the evidence, Thomas exclaimed, "He is risen." No, that's not what we're told at all. As soon as Jesus spoke to Thomas, as soon as Thomas heard the words of Jesus, those words crushed all his doubt, all his worry, all his fear, and he declared, "My Lord and my God." With a word, Jesus brought a peace to Thomas that only he could bring to him. A peace that only comes through faith in the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. And Jesus is still the only one today who can bring that peace to you and to me. He does it through his Holy Spirit and his word. John tells us that these words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing we may have life in his name. So if you ever doubt, if you ever worry, pick up God's book. Because as John says, these words are written so that you may not doubt your God, but believe in all his wonderful promises, his free forgiveness, and his amazing grace. Jesus also gives us another gift to strengthen our faith against all doubt. Jesus said in John chapter 15, "When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me." Not only does Jesus give us these words, but he sends the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, into our hearts to prepare our hearts as a place for him to live through faith. Jesus sends us his Spirit so that he might make us who are dead in our sin alive in Christ. And why is that so important? It's because God's Word and the Spirit are the only things that can make us know Jesus. And knowing Jesus is the only thing that can bring us true peace. And peace is something that's hard to come by most of the time, let alone in times such as these. Last week, our lockdown was extended for another month. Coronavirus is causing worry and panic. People are losing their jobs. Things look bleak. Ask someone who doesn't know Jesus if they have peace. And the answer is going to be no, not at all. How could I have peace in a world like this? But if we are honest with ourselves, and if we look around at our lives, doubt can so easily creep into our own lives as well. We aren't immune to doubt. We aren't immune to losing our peace. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you still have your job but can't go into work, so it doesn't even matter. Maybe you or someone you know has coronavirus. Our sinful flesh is weak and can so easily lose sight of Jesus and the peace that he brings. There are so many things going on right now that can make us doubt whether or not Jesus even cares about our physical well-being. But what does he tell us in his word? Jesus says in Matthew, "Don't worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or stow away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith?" Our God cares very much about our physical well-being. He promises to clothe and feed us. And so Jesus' words echo in our minds again, "Peace be with you." And yet when Jesus said those words to his disciples a week after his resurrection, he meant so much more than the peace of knowing that we will eat and be clothed. He meant to give us a peace that surpasses all understanding. It's the peace of knowing that we have been reconciled to our God through Christ, and that he does not hold any of our sins against us. It's a peace that can weather the most chaotic storms of life. A peace that, at times such as this, can speak volumes to those around us. When the disciples didn't know that their Savior was alive, they locked themselves away because of fear of the Jews. How many people today have locked themselves away because of their fear of coronavirus? Without Christ, they have no peace. What cured the disciples' fear and brought them peace was the good news about Jesus. And that is the only thing that can cure people's fear and bring them peace today. This peace that Jesus gives to us as he reveals himself risen from the dead is a peace that he extends to all people. They just need to hear the good news. Because this peace that Jesus imparts to us is so powerful and impactful and important, I want to challenge you today. Even in this time of social distancing and a statewide lockdown, don't keep this word to yourself. Don't keep this peace to yourself. What does that mean? Do you know someone who needs this peace? Maybe a coworker has been laid off. Maybe it's a neighbor who you never see leave the house. Maybe it's a relative who's down on their luck. Contact them. Write to them. Call them. Let them know about the peace you have in these difficult times through Jesus. Tell them how God has fixed his relationship with you and with them and wants them to know this peace. Tell them that this peace can be theirs in Jesus. Meditate on Jesus' peace this week. And I pray that you bring his peace to many people this joyous Easter season. He is risen. Peace be with you. Amen.